first hour of our lives to the very last hour we live, relationships are important. Our relationships at home, the relationship between husband and wife, between parents and children, between siblings, the relationships here in the church, between brothers and brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the relationships that we have on the job with our boss, foreman, supervisor, and our co-workers. The relationship that we have in our community with our neighbors. The relationship that we have in general with the world. And then the most important relationship at all, well, of all, is our relationship with God. All of our lives, everywhere we go, relationships are important. So for the next several weeks on Sunday morning, we're going to talk about various aspects of relationships. This is a very much, I need to have my Bible here kind of series. So I hope you find one right now if you didn't bring yours. And a lot of this will be very nerve-centered preaching, because a lot of times, a lot of our relationships are emotional. So we have to deal with these things, and we're going to deal with them. But I want us to begin this morning with this subject: how to heal a broken friendship. How to heal a broken friendship. Now, friendships are fragile. Friendships can and they do break. You can destroy in a few moments what has taken many years to build and to develop in a friendship with somebody. So the question that we want to ask is that once a friendship has been fractured, how can that friendship be put back together, or even can that friendship be put back together? Now, let me ask you to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. Proverbs, chapter 18, and I'm going to read one verse from three different translations, and this verse is going to mark the launching point of where we're going this morning. Proverbs chapter 18, whatever translation you have is just fine. Follow along with it, but I'm going to read this from three different translations because I want this verse to settle in on us. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19, and I'm going to read it first from the New International Version. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 19. An offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city, and disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. Same verse, this time from the New King James Version. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle.
One more time from the New Living Translation, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 19. Here's what it says. An offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. Now, the warning in this passage is clear. Restoring a wounded friendship can be a very difficult thing. So, the best course for an individual to pursue is to keep that friendship together. Now, that means that you have to do whatever is within your power to keep it together. You got to be willing to make the extra effort. You got to be willing to walk that extra mile. You got to be willing to do whatever is in your power to do to keep that friendship together, because if that friendship becomes wounded or broken, it can be tough to put that thing back together. So this morning, can a broken friendship be restored? And the second question, even more important, is how do you heal a broken friendship? Because you see, brethren, sometimes in spite of the best effort that both sides can make, a friendship will sour. So when it sours, what can we do to heal it? Let me share with you this morning four steps in healing a broken friendship. Number one, you have to determine the source of the conflict. You have to determine the source of the conflict. Now, turn your Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, and that's where we want to look at this. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And from the New International Version, let's me start with verse 14. The writer says, make every effort to live in peace with all men. Now let's pause right there. Brethren, that is the goal of a Christian. The goal of a Christian is to live at peace with everyone. Amen? That's the goal. In Matthew chapter 5, about verse 8, verse 9, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Have you ever stopped and looked at the word peacemakers? Brethren, the Lord hasn't called us to become peacekeepers. We are called to become peacemakers. There's a difference in somebody who makes the peace and somebody who keeps the peace. We are to be peacemakers. We are the ones who are strive to be making the peace. That's the goal. In Romans, the 12th chapter and in the 18th verse, Paul says, as much as lies within you is, live at peace with all men. The goal of the Christian is for us to live at peace with others. Now watch carefully. Hebrews 12 and verse 15. See to it
that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble. Let's pause again right there. Church, talk to me. What is the goal in our relationships with others? What's the goal? Be peacemakers. To be makers of the peace. Now, how do we do that? Well, in this context, in order to be people who live at peace with others, in this context, the way we do that is that we have to make sure in our relationships with our friends that we do not allow some root of bitterness to get in the way. When conflict comes, more often than not, it is because there is a problem that is underneath the surface that nobody has dealt with yet, and it is that root of that conflict that is causing the problem. And until we determine the source or the root of that conflict, you can't fix it. Let me illustrate. You have car trouble. So you take your car to the mechanic. The mechanic raises the hood on the car, and with his trained eye, he looks under the hood. Is everything that's supposed to be here, here? And is everything connected to everything it's supposed to be connected to? Then he'll tell you to start the car. You start the car, and now with his trained ear, he is listening to that engine. Then he sets out, and he may come over here and fool with something, and he may come back over here and fiddle with something, and he may come over here and look at something. Now, with his trained eye, with his trained ear, and all of these little things he's doing, what is the mechanic trying to do? He's trying to determine the source of the conflict in that engine. He's trying to determine what is the root cause that this car has. What's the problem here? Years ago, I had a red Buick LeSabre. I love that car. This car was ancient, but I love that car. It had over 200,000 miles on it, and everywhere I went, I drive it. I had a perfectly good car, a great car, wouldn't take it because I wanted that Buick LeSabre. Drove it everywhere. So after 200,000 miles, I had a problem with it. So I take it to the mechanic, and he says, well, what's the matter with it? I said, well, I says, sometimes it won't start at all. I says, other times it will start, and when I put it in gear, it won't go. I said, other times it will start, I will put it in gear, and it will go, but it'll only go about 25 or 30 miles an hour. I said, I've got my foot mashed to the floor on the accelerator, and I'm going 25 miles an hour. And I told him, that is dangerous entering a freeway. So he looks at me. Sometimes it won't start. Other times it will start, but it won't go. Other times it will start and it'll go, but it won't go fast. I said, you got it. He said, leave it here. 2 hours later, he calls me. He says, the problem is I have to replace the oxygen sensor filter on it. Now, I said that like I know what that meant. I didn't have any idea what that meant. All I know is that it was at the, in that car, it was at the base of the engine. And it had something to do with the oxygen getting up into the engine. So he replaced the oxygen sensor filter. Now listen, the reason the car wouldn't start sometime is the oxygen sensor filter. The reason it would start and wouldn't go is the oxygen sensor filter. Sometimes it would start and go, but it wouldn't go fast. It was the oxygen sensor filter. But when he found the source of the conflict in that engine, and when he replaced and fixed the root problem, guess what that car did? That car took off. Are you listening? The same thing is true in our relationships and in our friendships with people. When we have a conflict in our friendships with anyone, we have to determine what is the cause of this conflict. Why is this friendship, why is it sputtering, and why won't it go? Because until we determine the root of that problem, we can't fix it. Now here's what that means. That means you are going to have to look in the mirror and you're going to have to ask yourself some questions. Did I say something here? Did I do something? When did this conflict start exactly? And we have to look in the mirror and ask ourselves some questions. The problem is that's not our tendency. Our tendency isn't to look at ourselves. Our tendency is to point to the other guy and say, this is what he did, and this is what she did, and that's what he said, and that's what the problem is. In order to heal a broken friendship, the first thing you must do is determine the source of that conflict. What is the root? The root doesn't fly up on top. The root is down deep. You got to look at the root of this and say, listen, what is the root of this problem? Step number two. In order to heal a broken friendship, you must determine the source of the conflict, and then secondly, you must be willing to set the matter straight with an apology. Now, look up here and listen carefully. The Bible teaches that there is a connection between our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. Open your Bible to the verses that were read a few moments ago. Open your Bible to the book of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Now look at me. love for God is seen in our love for each other. And not one person said amen to that. Love for God is seen in our love for others. Look at verse 21, next verse. And he, God, has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Brother, listen to me, listen. Our love for each other is the visual proof of our love for God. Our love for each other is the visual proof to the whole world of our love for God. People can't with a naked eye see God, but they can see our relationship. Go up into chapter 3. Look at verse 23. 1 John 3:23. Listen to this. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Look at the two things in that verse that are married to each other. Our faith in Jesus as the Son of God and our love for each other. Now, if it's true that a thing can be judged by the company it keeps, then loving each other is a big deal. If we are going to heal, listen to me, if we are going to heal a broken friendship, we have to determine what is the source of the conflict, but then we have to be willing to set the thing right with an apology. Now let me say this. Many years ago, we got some horrible advice. We were told, quote, love means never having to say you're sorry. Now that might work in the movies, but that don't work out there where real people live. When I say set the matter straight with an apology, I'm not talking about going to somebody, all right, I'm sorry, now can we move on? That's not an apology. When you apologize with an attitude, you've insulted an apology. When you apologize with an attitude, you have not apologized. You've made a bad matter worse. When I say set the matter straight with an apology, what I mean is that I understand there is a rift between me and somebody else. And I'm going to do what I have to do in order to restore this rift between me and somebody else, because I want our friendship restored. Now, this is me, but I am willing to apologize to any friend I have in order to keep them.
And do it from the heart. And do it from the heart. In 1755, the then Colonel George Washington got into an argument with a man named William Payne, P-A-Y-N-E, William Payne. They were standing in front of the courthouse yard, and everybody was there. And William Payne threw a punch and hit George Washington, and George Washington went down. And William Payne then stood over George Washington in a very arrogant manner. He stood over his prone body. The next day, George Washington called for William Payne. And everybody thought, oh, it's on. And when they met, George Washington said to William Payne, I want to apologize for yesterday. I'm the one who set off the course of the events. He was the one that was hit. He was the one down. And he apologizes. That George Washington went on to become President George Washington. And as President of the United States of America, he and William Payne went on to have a very lasting and a very meaningful friendship, because one person in the source of that mess was willing to apologize to the other and meant it when he said it. How do we heal a broken friendship? The first thing we do is we have to determine the source of the conflict. What is this at the root that messed this up? And then second, we've got to be willing to set it straight with a heartfelt apology. I am apologizing because I want what has happened to us to be restored, and I want this to be fixed. Step number three, always display an attitude of humility. Humility. Brethren, listen, look here. Look, this amazes me. Humility is not a sign of weakness. Humility is a sign of self-control. And if somebody loves God enough, and if somebody loves their fellow man enough, then we're going to be willing to do what we can do to make peace. Look at Matthew chapter 18. And I'm going to put a little different twist on this. Matthew chapter 18. This is a conversation between the apostle Peter and Jesus. Peter is asking Jesus a question, and Jesus is going to answer it. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now let's put this twist on it. Peter comes up and he says to Jesus, Lord, how many times do I forgive
this man for sinning against me. And Peter throws out seven. Now, I don't think he meant it this way, but here's how you can look at that. It's like Peter is saying, Lord, I want to know what the maximum number is here. I want to know how many times before I can just cut that rascal off and forget him. Every one of us, every single day, needs forgiveness from God. How dare we not extend that to other people? How dare we not extend that to other people? We must always display an attitude of humility. There is enough sin hanging off of each of us to cut some slack to everybody else. Well, let me tell you, no, let me tell you, you need to get over yourself. How do we heal a broken friendship? Listen, how do we deal with this? Well, you got to determine what caused this? What happened that messed this thing up? Then be willing to set it straight with an apology. I mean this, I'm serious about this. And when you are serious about this, they will know you are serious about it. And if you walk up and your eyes are rolling at them, they know that doesn't count. And display an attitude of humility. Step number four. Now this is the real key. Because determining the source of the conflict, being willing to apologize, being willing then to take the next step and to be humble, that will not work without the fourth step, because the fourth step is the key to the other three steps, and the key, step number four, in healing the friendship is you must really love that person. Now, turn with me and we're going to close in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Verse 31 and 32. Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Verse 32, be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This is the heart that God wants us to have toward each other. Now I want you to hear this, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this in connection with this passage. These two verses are remarkable. And when you put what is being said in both of them together, these two verses together are incredible. Look what he says. He says, over on this side, verse 31, he says, you have bitterness, rage, and anger. He says, then over here on this side, he says, you have kindness. He then says, back to verse 31, he then says that you have brawling and slander on this side. And then he says, but now over here on this side, you have compassion. But then he says, over here on this side, you have malice, but over here on this side, you have forgiveness. Now, look at both sides. Because there are two seeds, there are two threads that run through every one of those words. Two threads. The first thread is that every one of them are attitudes. Bitterness is an attitude. Slander is an attitude. Rage is an attitude. Malice is an attitude. Kindness is an attitude. Compassion is an attitude. Forgiveness is an attitude. Every one of them is an attitude. Look at the two sides again. Every one of them are relationship words. Bitterness is what happens in a relationship. Malice, rage, brawling, slander, that's what happens in a relationship. Kindness, compassion, forgiveness, is what happens in a relationship. What God wants us to have is kindness. What God wants us to have is compassion. What God wants us to have is forgiveness. But brethren, we can't have that if we don't really love the person. Relationships are valuable, but they're vulnerable. Friendships that have lasted forever can break in a day. I know friendships, and so do you, that have deteriorated over time. People who may have, they grew up together, they were close, they were friends, and then years ago something happened, the friendship was fractured and the friendship ended, and it's been so long now, you can literally ask them, why are you no longer friends, and they can't even tell you what caused it. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? And sometimes the simplest things in the world can fix it. But nobody wants to do it. Now, I'm about to close, but before I close, I'm going to tell you what you're thinking. Because I got like psychic powers. I'm going to tell you what you're thinking. You're thinking about that person in your life who couldn't get along with anybody. Jesus said, love your neighbor, and they holler back, yeah, but Jesus never had my neighbors. Place I grew up was so bad they called it a neighborhood, because all my neighbors were hoods. Now, there are some people who are difficult. They were mad yesterday. They're mad today. They're going to be mad tomorrow. And when you call them Thursday, they're going to be mad. But in this series, we're going to have a whole lesson dealing with these difficult people. The only person I control is the guy who looks back at me in the mirror. He's the only one I can make do what I think he ought to do. But in order to heal a broken friendship, determine the root problem here. What caused this mess? Be willing to extend an apology. I'll set the, listen, if me apologizing will help a friend, any friendship I have, I'll do it. I'll do it. And I'll mean it. Approach it with an attitude of humility. But the key is you have to love them. The key is you have to love them. You do what you do. And what the other one does, that's on them. But you do what you do. This morning, if you're here and if you're not a Christian, you need to become a New Testament Christian. This morning, if you're not here, if you've never been baptized into Christ, you need to be baptized into Christ. This morning, if you're here and in your relationship with God, if you've drifted away, you need to come back. This morning, if you're here and if your life is a mess, God specializes in such a thing. If you're here, if you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus, God help you to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.